You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Perfect. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. This is so funny. And this is how I know we're on the same page, Conrad, is because I meant to tell you to play that one because Jimmy's son is a chess prodigy. It's also good that he knows you can tear a major something or other from a game that seems very non-physical.
How mad were you when you said checkmate?
I don't really hear checkmate that often, Conrad, but I do sweat it out. It's tough for me. Playing chess for me is a cardiovascular exercise. Jimmy Cuska is my current guest. We will be back to Jim in just a moment. Coming up at 6:35, that's about 30 minutes away, folks. The Doctors in Recital will be here in the studio, singing to their heart's content, bringing song to your evening. This is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, and that's what we do here. We're going to do this. We do this every night. We talk movies, TV, comedy. There will be live entertainment at 6:35 with the Doctors in Recital. And then at 7:20, Lindsay Fry from the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls will be here to talk about a really cool holiday play they have coming up. It's a beautiful Christmas story. You're probably familiar with it, but she's going to tell us about it anyway, and it's a different take on it. So we'll tell you all about that in hour number three as well. That's right. I said hour number three. Nightlight is on for the foreseeable future anyway. We're starting at 5 now and going to 8 as opposed to our typical start time of 6 p.m. Conrad, you got to pace yourself. Don't overdo this. This is 3 hours, buddy. So I need you to hang in there.
I got it.
Get some coffee, maybe an energy drink, whatever. Our question of the night, folks, in honor of National Butter Day, is what is your favorite dairy product? We are America's Dairyland. I think it's important we all have a product. I don't even eat that much dairy, but the dairy I eat, I truly love. Melted butter and smoked Gouda. Those are my two dairy products. Conrad says chocolate milk. My current guest, Jimmy Cuska, said chocolate milk. So we're going to jump back in here now with Jim and talk some movies and TV. And we will do that throughout the course of the show. But answer the question, folks. Be part of the fun. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, which is very easy to use. If you don't have it, I highly recommend it. And, of course, if you're watching the radio on the stream at Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can drop us a stream comment. It's always great. Just be part of the show. We absolutely love it. Mr. Cuska, how are you? You hanging with
fantastic.
Us?
Fantastic.
Okay.
You were talking about chess being a cardiovascular sport. Yesterday on 60 Minutes, CBS News had a report on chess boxing. And I tell you what, if regular chess doesn't get your heart pumping, how about having a fist fight in the middle of it? So.
Listen, if I was better at chess, it probably wouldn't be a cardiovascular, but my heart gets pumping. How does that work, boxing with chess?
Painfully, I would imagine. I am not signing myself up for CTE, but this is apparently a thing. I just, when you're mentioning it being cardiovascular, I'm like, you know what? I just saw a story on this.
Gee, that's hilarious. That's just not fair either, because a lot of chess players are nerds and they shouldn't have to box. This is their respite, I think, right? Come on. That's terrible. Jim, it's great to have you with me. For those of you who listen to Civic Media regularly, you know Jimmy is our sports director and one of the hosts of the new show, the new sports show, Make the Call. So check that out as well. When can they see or when can they hear Make the Call, you guys?
That's at 7 a.m. every Saturday here on Civic Media News Talk stations around the network.
Fantastic. It's a great show. We've had Gray and Parker on before, too, to discuss it. They're going to be back on Friday. We'll have a little more sports talk with those guys, and absolutely check it out, folks. Jimmy, you stuck around. Thank you for your time, as always. I know how busy you are, but you're watching a show, and I want to talk some movies and TV with you because I always enjoy that part of your visits. So what are you watching, and what is this TV show Conrad has built up like crazy that you're watching and that you love?
I'm not sure which one he's talking about that he's building up, but there are several that I've been watching. I was watching, I got the Witcher just had its new season come out at the end of October. Got through that. The Witcher was a show that had a very famous casting change in the lead, Henry Cavill going out and then bringing in Liam Hemsworth. So they made a big casting change. The direction of the show in the fourth season has a lot of people very upset. I found it just kind of it's kind of in that same category where I feel like we're tapping out not only on superhero movies, but like fantasy settings. I feel like we've finally reached a creative threshold of we've done this a lot and it might be time to try some other IPs. But the show is I mean, I enjoy these shows are based on books and video games, so I always enjoy that. And then the other one is based on an anime or a manga, I should say, and that is One Piece, which is on Netflix as well. There's a new season coming out in the spring, and I had never actually checked it out because as a lot of people that follow, you know, if they're in anime, they know that, you know, shows like One Piece go on forever. I mean, there are hundreds, if not, I think there are over 1,000 episodes now. So thinking of this as a live action show, little bit strange, right? Well, it's actually done extremely well in just the one season of it, which covers maybe 5% of the full story, but there's a lot of material for them to draw from at least, and I actually enjoyed it. So a couple of Netflix shows is where I ended up here in my latest binge watching adventures.
I don't even know that show. Are you watching that, Con?
I watched the first season. I'm not usually an anime watcher, but that live action I felt was really well done as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And my brother's actually watching the full anime series.
Wow. Okay.
So
he'll get back to you in about 6 years when that's done.
Exactly. Right? I think he's in like the 300s right now. So
I love.
Yeah, and if he's watching five episodes a night, yeah, about 6 years from now, he'll tell you how it ends, right?
There is nothing that makes me happier than having multiple seasons of a show I've just discovered that I have to watch, and I love knowing I can pace myself and it'll be there. It just sucks when you finish a show you truly love. So The Witcher, I have not seen that. I'm going to have to check that out. That's a great recommendation.
Yeah, it's a good start. It's a strong starting show. It's, again, a fantasy world type show. It's a very good video game, really good video games made based on books that were written for this world. And I think that a lot of the creative differences that led to the casting changes were because the show wasn't staying true to what was written in books. But, you know, as we saw with Game of Thrones, as we've seen with a lot of fantasy type shows that have a book basis, what works in print doesn't always work on the screen. So, you know, they got to spice up the drama and the romance. They got to make the explosions more explosion-y. They got to make the dragons more dragon-y. You know what I mean? They got to really go all out to hook people in. So
my guest is Jimmy Keska. He is the Civic Media Sports Director and one of the hosts of Make the Call, which you can hear on the network or on the podcast, I assume too, right? But network-wide at 7 a.m. on Saturday. Great show. Check it out. Jimmy, what in terms of kids' movies and movies, what are you watching these days?
So we're kind of in this weird spot of the year where there haven't been a lot of kids' movies that have come out. We had the summer of K-pop Demon Hunters, right? Where when that movie came out, it was everywhere. And to the point that they started pushing it in theaters, the last push they did was over Halloween. And it didn't do as well, but it was like the fifth time they had pushed it, trying to capitalize on the viral success, right? A very well-done show. It's a show that is very kid-appropriate. It's got a lot of catchy songs. Pretty much every song on the soundtrack is awesome to listen to.
Yeah.
But I feel like many things that are kind of unexpected successes, that whatever they do next with it, it's going to feel a little more cash grabby than the soul of this one. So I'm very skeptical when you have these shows that come out of nowhere or have these creative properties that come out of nowhere and do well. On the other hand, what we are shaping up for is a pretty good start to next year with kids movies, because the next Mario Brothers movie is coming out. The first one made something like $1 gajillion.
Yeah.
And they can just print money with those, right? I mean, that's
crazy.
But you've got some good ones coming up next year. I think 2026 will have a lot of strong movies for that. But yeah, the kids movie front right now, it's a little cool. We're at the end of the year. I think a lot of people are just going to settle into Christmas classes at this point. And that's kind of where we're at movie-wise.
What do you have a favorite holiday film, Jim?
Die Hard, obviously.
Yes.
Big fan of Die Hard. That's a great Christmas movie. right. With the kids. The kids are, for whatever reason, really into the old animated Frosty the Snowman. That's like their favorite thing. It's like 18 minutes long, but it's their favorite thing. So I'm all for it.
That is fantastic. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time. I know how busy you are, so I appreciate it even more when you're able to spend some time with us here at night. It's so much fun, and let's do it again soon. Again, open door policy. Conrad, if you see Jimmy walking through that door, don't chase him off like you do a lot of our guests. He's welcome here anytime. Thank you, sir.
I'll be the one. Else. I'll be the next one on the post you guys put up online, waving outside the window. That'll be me.
God,
that's how I get into the show next time.
All right, fantastic. Done and done. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Check out Make the Call and all of Jimmy's work here at Civic Media. Or if you live in any one of several Wisconsin cities, you could probably hear him on the radio calling sports too. Is that something you want to do, Con?
Definitely. Yeah.
You want to be like an announcer? Did Clemens ever do that?
Not sure.
Yeah. He's so good at the reporting. He's got a great voice, too.
Yeah,
like, he could
very good.
Announce. Yeah. All right. Very cool. Well, that was fun. I always like talking to Jimmy. Our question of the night, folks, in honor of National Butter Day. It's a good one. We are America's Dairyland. What is your favorite dairy product? Eric from Madison in the 608 says, hey, Pete, I would have to agree with you on melted butter. I enjoy a nice baked cod dinner. With it, or pretty much any seafood. Yeah, there's lemon and butter on fish, like cod especially, is outstanding. That's a great... I'm actually fasting today, so I can't eat tonight.
Why do you always do food questions when you're fasting?
I'm just a masochist. I don't know what my problem is. And then Linda in Middleton, blue cheese or lavender cheese from Amsterdam? Wow, great one, Linda. I have to say, too, blue cheese on a salad, outstanding. I could not eat a block of blue cheese like Conrad does, but a little bit crumbles on a salad with like a nice French dressing and some bacon bits. Get down on it. Absolutely. Great one, Linda. And then Linda sent other texts that looked like it was just like a typo or something. I don't know. But thank you for the text. Carolyn on the stream, she's watching the radio. She's with us tonight, says yes. Oh, in reference to Tony Goldwyn, which we were talking about in hour one. Let's get another plug-in for the movie. On December 4th, folks, a film I wrote and directed and I play the lead actor in, The Godfather of Green Bay, will be screening at the Atwood Music Hall in Madison December 4th. It is sponsored by the John and Gordy Morning Show at WMDX here on Civic Media. And Downdrin's Distilling is also sponsoring the event. So December 4th, doors open at 6. The show starts at 7. It's about an hour and 25-minute movie. This is the 20-year anniversary of this screening, and we had a kind of a cult following, got some really good reviews, and it's kind of an audience movie. It's fun to watch in a theater. Tony Goldwyn is in it, Lauren Holly, Thomas Lennon, Lance Barber, me. I'm the weak link, obviously, but Mark Borchardt from Milwaukee, Eric Price, Rob Martin, both from Milwaukee. We had some great Northeast Wisconsin actors in the film as well that we cast locally. There it is, if you're watching on the stream. And it was such a fun time shooting in Marinette 20 years ago. And so come on out. If you're in the Madison area, December 4th, it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, for a good cause, $1 from every ticket. Tickets are only 10 bucks, and $1 from every ticket will go to the Dane County Humane Society. John and Gordy are going to introduce the film and do a Q&A with me afterwards. It should be a lot of fun. We talked about that in hour number one, and Carolyn on the stream says, yes, and watch Tony Goldwyn and the Boys Next Door. It's an older movie with Nathan Lane. Excellent. Oh, my gosh. The doctors in recital are here, Conrad. They're here early to warm up. I should have taken their picture at the window. They were tailor-made for Nightlight Window Fund. All right, we're doing it all tonight, folks. Three-hour version of Nightlight. It will be that way for the foreseeable future. It is great to have you here talking movies, comedy, music. We've got live entertainment coming up in just about 10 minutes, and I'll read your texts next. And I got to play that great clip, No Country for Old Men. We'll do that too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can you start breaking down? 'Cause you're on.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Down, down, down. Come on! We get twisted if we go out
before. Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. It's Monday, folks. It is finally Monday. This is the night I wait for after a laborious weekend where I can't talk about the things I love because no one will listen to me. But I love to talk movies. Listen, Conrad, we got to get to this because you saw The Running Man. I did not make it to the theater to see The Running Man. That was high on my list. It did not finish number one. I thought it would open and crush. But maybe Glenn Powell isn't the theatrical draw we thought he was going to be.
Honestly, I thought it was great.
Yeah, tell us about it.
It was so fun. I was locked into the whole movie.
Nice.
It's like a two and a half hours, I believe.
Whoa.
Somewhere around there.
Okay.
And I think it has great timing, honestly. I don't think it should be shorter or longer or anything.
You weren't like waiting for it to end or anything.
No, I thought it was.
Was like, Glenn Powell good?
He was great in it.
Yeah.
And now I really want to see the Arnold version to see what the differences are in the movies. But it was fascinating, I thought. And it's a fun time at the theater.
Yeah. And it was kind of ahead of its time when the 87 version came out.
Me like, thinking about that the whole movie, I was like, wow, this is in the 80s?
It's kind of the same way with like my classic movie pick of the week last week for New Wisco Weekend was the original Terminator, because we were talking about AI on the show. And I thought this was an AI movie before AI was like part of our everyday vernacular. You know, it was like AI took over the world. And James Cameron kind of predicted that in 1984. He wasn't the first guy to do it. But in terms of cinema, that was way ahead of its time, too. So I have to see this reboot. I'd love to know what you think about the Arnold version compared to this one.
Have you seen that one?
The Arnold Schwarzenegger one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it and just see how similar they are and how different.
Right.
But I thought it was just a fun time at theater. And, you know, I had to go to the bathroom around the hour mark, and I didn't until the movie ended. That's how drawn I was to it. I didn't leave.
There was a pretty long line behind that urinal when you were Conrad finally relieved himself. Okay. All right. Now let's pivot to another movie you saw that you thought was not very good. And you love Kevin James.
I love Kevin James.
I like Kevin James. I don't know if I ever told you this. I've done punch up on some of his movies. Like we sit at a table and Kevin is there and it's fun and you just add jokes to his scripts. I think I only got like two jokes in the four or five times I did it, but I really like Kevin James. I think he's a very good person.
You know, I think his TV show is one of my favorites, The King of Queens.
Very popular.
It's just you go to any episode, it's just there's always something you could find that's funny in it.
Yeah. I liked, I took a lot of flack for this from my jaded comedian friends back when it came out, but I loved Paul Blart.
It's great.
My son Joe, that was like the first live action film we could go to together. And I just thought it was a blast. I thought he was really good in it too.
So the movie that you're talking about is called Playdate.
Playdate, right.
And it's with Alan Richardson. And
who I like.
Kevin James. And it's kind of like a buddy action comedy.
Okay.
And just like half of it, just like the start of it, you're just like, what am I watching right now?
Because it's bad?
Like, yeah, there's some cringy moments in the starting. You're like, what? There's some parts in it, like, okay, I'm not one for watching film and being like, that shouldn't be there or something. You know?
Right.
There's this one time where he meets the mafia moms, okay?
Okay. That sounds like trouble.
And it's a bunch of single moms that go to the park with their kids and drink wine while their kids are playing.
Okay.
And they have snacks with them. And she hands Kevin a pack of grapes, okay? It's one shot.
Yeah.
Zooms into Kevin's face, zooms out. It's not grapes anymore. It's carrots. So I'm like, what?
I love that stuff.
I kept looking at it like four times. Like, that's definitely not supposed to be
I love that. I absolutely love that.
But anyways, there's some moments where I just cringed in it. There's some funny parts, you know, but there's a reason this movie was not in theaters.
Here's one of the reasons. It got a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, yeah.
Even the audience score isn't quite fresh. It's 59%, so...
I can see that. I feel like that's kind of high for it, to be honest.
The 17 or the 59?
The 59.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a huge Kevin James fan, and I like Alan Richardson, too.
Yeah, I like Alan Richardson, too. I love the Reacher.
I didn't think it was great, so.
We have a clip that I really want to play. This is a great... How long is the No Country
clip? We can play it.
Okay. This is facts about the movie No Country for Old Men, a Coen Brothers film, one of my all-time favorite movies. And Woody Harrelson's connection to the movie. He is in the movie as well. Let's play that, Con.
This is the weirdest bit of movie trivia I've ever heard. Okay, so you know the movie No Country for Old Men? Even if you haven't seen it, you probably know it as the film where this guy in a weird haircut goes around and kills a bunch of people. Okay, well, the movie and the book that it's based on take place in 1980 in a tiny little town along the border in Texas. And the story is that you have this sleepy little town that is suddenly shocked by the outbreak of cartel violence. And this guy is a hitman who works for one of these drug lords. So in the book, No Country for Old Men, this sheriff character, the guy who's played by Tommy Lee Jones in the film, when explaining how bad things had gotten around there, says, well, recently in San Antonio, a federal judge was killed. Well, he's referencing a real thing that happened. There was a judge named John H. Wood who was assassinated by a cartel hitman back in 1979. This triggered one of the largest investigations in history, and they eventually snagged the killer, a guy named Charles V. Harrelson. This drug kingpin had paid him $250,000 to take out the judge. In this hitman, Charles V. Harrelson would claim that he participated in a bunch of killings. At one point, he would claim that he was part of the Kennedy assassination, but that turned out to not be true. But that guy, Charles Harrelson, is the father of actor Woody Harrelson, who is in the movie No Country for Old Men, playing a character who, spoiler, gets taken out by a cartel hitman. The assassination of that judge is not mentioned in the film, and as far as I know, this is all just coincidence.
It's so crazy because Woody Harrelson's dad, a feared hitman, and I remember hearing those rumors that he was tied to the Kennedy assassination, but a bad guy. Kill the judge like this guy is saying. Woody Harrelson is in No Country for Old Men. He's great. And he's one of the most likable guys in Hollywood. I don't know how close he was with his dad, but that fascinates me that his dad could be that way. And then Woody Harrelson is like this lovable actor everybody wants in their movie. Great stuff. Love that kind of stuff. All right. We are coming back with the Doctors in Recital, folks. They are going to sing to their heart's content right here in the studio. That's coming up next. After the news, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Oh. I wanna drive them on. When you're feeling blue, I'm thinking just of you. I'm back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on a kind of a, would you call this a kick-ass Monday, Conrad, or just a basic?
I'd say so.
It's 3 hours.
It is.
You gotta pace yourself. I'm getting a little winded, but I took a knee outside. Caught a blow, as they say, and I can talk like that because we were talking sports. Great to have you with me. At 7:20, folks, Lindsay Fry from the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls will be here to tell us about a really cool Christmas play they're putting on over there. They do really great work. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Butter Day, what is your favorite dairy product? We are Dairylanders. We need to represent. And I'm going to ask my next guests that question too. Even though they're here to sing, I'm going to ask them about dairy because I take all the risks. It is my pleasure to welcome back into the studio three of my absolute favorite people. They're here representing Doctors in Recital, Kim Shevchik, Chris, and Paul Piat. Yay! And you guys are married, correct?
We are.
Yeah.
25 okay. years.
25 years.
And today?
No, a month ago.
That would have been cool.
That would have been ridiculous. Yeah. Well, congrats on 25 years. Outstanding. It's great to have you guys here. Kim, you and I met almost 2 years ago, and we set this whole thing up. We brought the Piets in because they're so talented.
They're ringers. They're my ringers.
You said I got a couple ringers. You guys are so much fun to have here because you're very talented singers, but you also have a good sense of humor. We have a lot of laughs when you're here.
We do. We love coming and hanging out with you, and it's fun.
We genuinely like you.
Wow.
And that list might not be as long as people think.
It's probably not, Paul. I'm okay with that. I know that I can be a real SOB sometimes.
I would not. Nope. And you were, I think, going to ask us about our favorite dairy product.
I was about to.
So excited to answer that question.
Oh, I'm thrilled then. Tell me,
I feel
me,
like
please.
I've been waiting my whole life to answer this question.
It's about time.
You know what I'm going to say. Well, Paul knows I love all dairy, so it's hard for me to pick. But I love milk, and I love all kinds of milk. Like,
oh my gosh.
I grew up my grandparents' farm. They had, you know, the milk right from the cow, and then we pasteurize it at their house, and then we drink warm, fresh pasteurized milk.
Conrad, you might have to take over for a few minutes here.
Yep. But then my dad had high cholesterol. So then we went from like whole milk to skim milk. But I also like skim milk. And then I like 2% and 1%. I like all the milk. Chocolate milk.
You like all the dairy milk.
All the dairy milk. Okay. Oat milk. I actually do not discriminate against non-dairy milk.
I'm an oat milk guy.
Not my favorite. You guys like the non-dairy milk, don't you?
Well, it's the whole lactose.
There's that minor thing.
There's that kind of stuff. You know, have you ever witnessed a pasteurizing? That must be something.
Yeah.
What happens? What's
it just
that?
Gets
like?
Really,
take
really,
us there.
Really,
you go out
really
in the
hot.
Pasture and it begins to levitate.
The milk starts to bubble.
Pasteurize
from the sun.
But that's a good analogy. No, it's like you just basically get it super hot.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's like a pressurized system, and so it uses pressure to like not really get it hot. It's a lower temperature, high pressure.
Boil the devil out of it.
And my grandma would always get mad if we drank it before it was pasteurized, because she grew up when people were drinking non-pasteurized milk and getting really, really sick. And so she today would just like roll over in her grave knowing that people pay a lot of money for unpasteurized milk. Because she saw like get really sick and
did they know what was making? Like, did they know?
Yeah,
what was
they knew it was bad milk, and you know they had no choice because it was the Depression and they had to drink it. And what are you gonna do?
Now this is interesting because the song you're gonna play for us is called "Bad Milk," so I think this is a great way for us to lead. No, and what about you guys?
Paul,
what
whip
about,
it out.
Paul is about ready.
I'm like,
come
okay,
up with
bad
something. Oh, I love that.
That was good. Keep going.
That was pretty good. So what about you guys? Do you have a favorite dairy product?
Ice cream is the, obvious, right? But when you're in the mood for like melted cheese, like on a sandwich, like a toasted sandwich with gooey melted cheese, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. What about you, Paul?
Got to go with a good sharp cheddar.
Good sharp cheddar. Nice.
And I like the stuff that's also got like cranberries in it or getting fancy. Yeah.
Are you guys fans of the cheese log? I don't know who created that. Probably
I like
guy,
cheese log.
Last name Log, but he came up with that, and that's made
Mr. Log.
He's got millions in cheese money.
Mm-hmm. And then the cheese ball.
And then the cheese ball.
Mr. Ball.
Cheese ball. We've got a good friend that makes a mighty good cheese ball and likes to bring it to parties.
Cheese curds.
It's just fun to talk about cheese.
Growing up.
Dykesville bowl. Cheese curds.
Bowl.
Best in the state.
Oh, really?
I feel like we had this conversation last time.
I feel like we did, too.
Wow. I just had deja vu.
Yeah, seriously.
Was it National Cheese Day the last time we came?
No, it's National Butter Day today.
Oh,
and
butter
my favorite
day.
Is actually melted butter. I don't eat a lot of dairy, but I will never say no to melted butter on bread, potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Butter makes everything better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Conrad, did I leave anything out in the preparation of the dairy talk with the doctors in recital?
I don't think so. Some people said sour cream today.
That's true.
Sour
cream is baked potato.
Sour cream is great.
Or Mexican food, love that.
Yeah. It's a great garnish.
Mm-hmm. We're very fortunate to be able to talk. You know, in some foreign countries, they can't just have willy-nilly cheese talk. We can talk about it here, though,
like
and not
blacklisted.
Be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that was fun. Thank you for indulging me in my dairy questions. But how are you guys? What is going on? Tell us, for people who have not been to a doctor's and recital performance, give us a little background, Kim.
Well, what you will witness is first you're going to walk into the beautiful space of the Widener.
Yeah.
You know, one of a kind. We're
great
so lucky to have that gem in our community. And we have physicians and other healthcare team members putting together essentially a variety show. And then other musicians, some of our local talent in Northeast Wisconsin joins them on stage. And you'll see things that range from classical to pop to country to jazz. Sometimes we get really crazy, and there's music theater. I mean, it's a wide variety. It's all to raise money for local nonprofits. And this year's theme is essentially helping end hunger in our community. So we have several nonprofits that help to feed their community, and we are fortunate to have just some wonderful nonprofits again this year. Every year it's somebody different. But and then we also support music education and the arts education. So that's also another subset of where our money that we raise goes. So we get sponsors, and we've kind of closed up our books with that. And now it's all about ticket sales, which is, of course, one of the things we are asking our audience for.
Yeah.
Spread the word, because you can get a great ticket, support some local causes, enjoy wonderful music, these people will be on stage among many, many others. And it's just a fun night. And yeah. I don't know, like people say, yeah, I heard of it, but like Doctors in Recital. And it does it's kind of a weird name, but now we've done it so long, we have to stick with it. It's not a recital.
Yeah.
It's more of just a cabaret variety. Kind of thing, variety, singing, instruments.
And it's very talented people.
Very, very yeah. talented.
The yeah. first time you guys were here, I remember watching a clip and thinking, oh, they're like medical people who invite these performers to town and you guys play background or something. But I'm like, they're all doctors or people in your field. Yeah. And you're a yeah. physician's assistant, right, Kim?
Yep, yep.
So it's spectacular.
Yeah. Well, every act has to be headlined by a physician, and maybe they're not the headliner, but they're definitely going to be one of the main players, one of the main singers. They're organizing the act. So one of our performers who's a neurosurgeon, I mean, he plays and he sings. One of our performers who's a neurologist, he sings in a quartet, sings in kind of a more of a group. We've got all sorts of medical specialties involved, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's not just a bunch of people who think they're good. There's people who are actually
And if those
good.
Of you listening have health problems, this is the show to go to.
Yes.
Because if something does happen,
yes. Is
you
there
are
a doctor
covered.
In the house? You've got
There's
several.
Nothing but doctors in the house.
Yes.
Kim Shevchik, Paul and Chris Piat are here. They are here representing Doctors in Recital, a great show. This year's show is in January. Every year it's in January,
It's always
right?
January. Either the last Saturday or the second last. This year we're on the 24th. So that last second to last Saturday in January, 7 p.m., and many people in our community probably already know this, but the Widener has kind of their own ticketing platform. So you can just go right to the Widener, their main page. You can find us there, get your tickets, and it's pretty easy peasy.
Can we hear something before we've got about 5 minutes to a break? You guys think you could belt something out in that
What
time?
Do you want to do, Paul? Sure.
Should we start with a little bit of, what would we call this? Gospel?
A little gospel.
Sure. Doctors in Recital.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God who calls me here below will be forever mine. Will be.
That was fantastic. Chris and Paul Piette, Kim Shefchik here representing the Doctors in Recital. I want to talk about that song when we come back. We're going to do a very quick break. And then you guys are going to sing something else at some point. We'll play a little Yahtzee. All kinds of fun stuff going on here.
I love Yahtzee.
Let's roll for cheese curds.
We are coming right back with the Doctors in Recital on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Peach Wabba. We are hanging out with the Doctors in Recital. Our question of the night is... in honor of National Butter Day, what is your favorite dairy product? We have to represent. We are the dairy state. Michael from the 608 says, yeah, hey, guys, it's cheese, 1,000%. He's leaving no doubt, Conrad. What other food group has a dedicated drawer in the fridge?
Mm.
Well, vegetables.
Veggies.
And fruit. But I'm not going to sidetrack him. He's on a roll. He says, and don't tell me veggies.
No.
I just stole his thunder.
Spoiler alert.
We all know the veggie crisper is also for emergency cheeses. That's great, Michael. Thank you. Love it. Dave on the stream says, I think he means not drink. He says, I will drink or eat any dairy that comes from a nut. Milk must come from a mammary gland. Like Mr. Fokker said, a cat has what is that? A cat? Is that from the movie that the cat actually had nipples?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A cat has nipples. Can you milk a cat? Well, I can't really argue with that, Dave. And then he clarifies that I will not eat. And then he put the emoji for mammary glands, for lack of a better.
Oh, yes. I was wondering what that was. Now
that's
I see it.
Yeah, my wife sends that to me all the time. no, I can't wait to get home. Here are, But we have a few texters who are a little obsessed with the women's anatomy. Would you find that? Was that accurate, Conrad?
Yeah, I would say
so. And they find ways around it. They're tasteful, but you know what they're thinking. So I don't think that counts as dairy either. But all right, the Doctors in Recital are being represented here in the studio tonight by Kim Shefchik, Paul, and Chris Piette. They come by, well, in the summer and in the fall. You guys do On Stage for Cancer as well in the summer, which is so great. And so... Doctors in Recital, you can get tickets at the Widener website. It's January 24th, and the Widener Center is a phenomenal facility with
beautiful,
some of the best acoustics, I would imagine, which are. Mm-hmm. What is there anyone, is it kind of the same, like if people go every year, are there different featured singers every year?
Yes.
Not that they wouldn't want to see the same ones, but like.
There's like your core anchors. Okay. I mean, some of us have been in it almost from the beginning. Dr. Ringwalski singing gospel. I'm in there. I'm a hodgepodge performer. We've done a wide variety. Let's see. Dr. Chun, she always does some very, very classy piano. I mean, she basically turned down Juilliard to go to medical school.
Oh,
so,
we've talked about her. Wow.
Yeah, we've talked about her.
That's really emasculating. But then you'll someone have that people... talented. You know what I mean? Honestly, God, she's not even a guy and I'm emasculating. Like, she could have gone to Juilliard. No, I'll go to medical school.
Yeah.
I'll save lives.
Yeah, right. I'm like, well, with me, it's either do nails or go into show business. Those were my options. And I'm not sure I chose the right one either.
Waiter.
I would drop
that's
something.
That's kind of like show business, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If you want to make money, you need tips. No, that's show business.
That's like the old question. Oh, my wife's an actress. Oh, really? What restaurant does she work at? So there you go.
Well, I mean, you will never be able to predict what the show is.
Yeah.
Because it's different every year. there's not, and we try really hard to not repeat songs too. So it's pretty rare that you'll be like, didn't someone do this already? We have a choir that is every year picking a couple different songs, and they usually do some show tunes, but not always. We had a Moana song. What was that one that Don't Talk About Bruno or what did that
We Don't Talk About Bruno.
We Don't Talk About Bruno. That was cute. It's fun. Nice. They try to do something that's kind of like in that popular current timing.
Right.
Things that are classics and oldies but goodies. I don't know. It's been all over the map.
So do you have a theme in terms of, first of all, I just want to say too, you guys did Amazing Grace right before the break. There are three songs where I really struggle to hold back tears. And they're tears of joy because of the beauty of the songs. And Amazing Grace is one of them.
Really?
Ave Maria, forget it. And Danny Boy. Those three songs, I just can't. If it's like a funeral setting you're somewhere where there's perfect acoustics and it goes right to your bones, it's just like those songs in particular. But are there songs like that in this year's show? What can you tell us about? I know you said you mix it up a little bit. Are there any that you can share that we're definitely going to hear?
Let's see. Well, we are doing Listen to the Music. Do you remember that?
Doobie
song?
Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yep. I love that.
And we are lucky that the Power Tool Horns from Big Mouth and the Power Tool Horns, local band, they will be joining us on stage. So that'll be exciting.
Excellent.
There's always, there you go. Thanks. Chris always is at the ready with
such
the
a
actual
teacher.
Plan.
So, I can't help it.
Can't shut that off.
So do you know it was popular back, I want to say like mid to late 2000s, Black Horse and a Cherry Tree. That was like that kind of like jazzy, what would you call that style? It was popular in pop radio. That one was super popular for a bit. Feeling Good. That one's going to be good. Brad Locke, he likes to sing kind of, one year he did Elton John. He's done show tunes, but Good with the East High School Jazz Band, which is always fun to get some of the high school kids singing and playing. And then we have like Ragtime, you know, the Ragtime musical.
Yeah.
There's lots of variety. We've got
Dreams.
A couple.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I love Ragtime. I love Scott Joplin. He's like one of my all-time favorite.
There's a couple that are like written for the show. So Dr. Hess has an original piece. And then every year, Dr. Vardis writes a song about our recipients. This year, his song is titled A Biker Dude Named Matt. I cannot believe that that's the title, but that's what it's called. But it's almost always moving. Usually, if you read the lyrics of his song, like... You were just saying like they'll move you to tears.
Yeah.
Last year's was really good because, you know, there's different recipients we've had over the years, and many of them do involve. We tend to pick things that are for our health and wellness in Brown County. So a lot of things with mothers and children, you know, hunger being this year. But the story was, you know, about kids that need a place that feels like home and smells like home and is like home. And he kind of wrote it from the kid's perspective. It was
so
beautiful.
Great.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get.
I love that.
But right, there's always a touch of things you'll know.
We're going to talk more about this after the news. We'll be back for Act 3. No longer Act 2. It's a 3-act show now, Conrad. Look alive. You ready? All right. We're coming back after the news. More with the Doctors in Recital who are here, Kim, Paul, and Chris. They're going to perform again as well. And then we've got some talk about a great show coming up in Western Wisconsin in hour number 2 as well.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.